kings and priests. Revelation chapter 5. If you can put it over there. In the next 35 minutes, I pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us in such a great way. Father, I thank you so much because you are awesome. You are awesome. Thank you, Lord. Lord, you are awesome in this place. You are awesome, Lord. Speak to us. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome in this place, Abba Father. You are worthy of my praise. To you our lives we raise. You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. Tell him, saints. Mighty God, you are awesome in this place. Tell him, please. You are worthy of all praise. To you our lives we raise. Fill it up, please.
You are awesome, Lord.
You are awesome in this place, mighty God. You are awesome. Pick up that keyboard, please. Abba Father, you are the when I walk in this place, past the gates of praise, into the sanctuary, to gaze upon your face, I look upon countenance, I see glory on each face. I can only bow down and say, you are awesome in this place. Oh, you are awesome. God is so awesome. You cannot ignore whether you are flying in Abuja or flying out of Abuja. You cannot ignore this wonderful, magnificent dome. You see it at a distance, It speaks when everybody's silent. When you drive by, it beckons on you. Thank you for giving Jehovah a piece of real estate in Nigeria and Africa. Every sacrifice you've given, every gift you gave, every moment you stay here in prayer, this is God's home. You see, Dr. Paul and Dr. Becky, there are many buildings in Nigeria and Africa. They stand tall. But you, and these wonderful people, you said, Lord, this piece of real estate, Jehovah, is yours. God will never leave Nigeria. Because of this, God will never leave Africa. May God multiply it back to you 1,000 times. Tonight in this conference, I'm so honored that I've been invited to come to share just a little glimpse on the great revelation. Really, when you walk here, you don't even need a preacher to preach to you. The grounds, the building, the people, the parking, the gate, everything preaches to you here. The flowers, and when you come in here, you are really inspired. But I want to share with you something. And I know our television station, we now have one of the largest television network. Dr. Paul Enenche is there. We put him on our television network. And we are covering over 100 million homes in Jesus' mighty name across Africa and Asia. Channel 44 television. You can get it us online and in any other form. Revelation chapter 5. There is a wonderful verse there. I just wanted to go it through with you quickly because it is about kings and priests. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 10. Now, before we go to verse 10, verse 1, 2, 3 to 4 reveals what John, who is a real brother of Jesus Christ biologically, yes, he might have been what you call a stepbrother, but in God there's no stepbrother. We are all brothers. They grew up in the same womb, breastfed from the same mother, and John being the youngest, and Jesus the firstborn. Definitely, you can imagine that Jesus may have lifted his little brother and carried him on his back, or played with him, or changed his diaper, or fed him, or protected him. Even in ministry, you could see that John walked closer to Jesus. So they had a relationship, a biological relationship. But in Revelation chapter 5, John is trying to bring across something that is very fundamental, something that is very, very powerful. And verse 1, he says, I want to read it to you quickly. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in the earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth in the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden veils full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Somebody said, we shall reign. Say, I'm a king. I am a priest. Now, no other kings or other priests you have ever seen, Jesus Christ brings in a new order. Now, you have to understand that John was on the island of Patmos. And that's where he took up, and the Lord took him all over, including heaven, and he showed him a lot of things. But in Revelation chapter 1, it really reveals, he said, I was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. Now, John had had days with Jesus, and he knew him. And as siblings always, you can have nicknames of each other. And you tell them this and that, you are called this, you are Jay, you are this, you are Jesus, you are that. As kids, they used to play. So as Jesus began the ministry, of all the brothers of Jesus, John followed Jesus to the T. He moved with him. He joined the disciples. He was the youngest of all. So now Jesus suffers. And on the cross, Jesus tells John, he said, John, that is Mama. Mama, that is your son. So you guys take care of yourself. I'm going back to the Father. Now, when Jesus was conceived and born, the men came from the east coming and said, where is the newborn king? So on his birth, he was a king. When he was dying on the cross, the ruler of that day ordered a writing to be put on his cross, King of the Jews. But John had not seen a king in the brother Jesus. He has seen a man of love, a man of power, a man of miracles, a man of signs and wonders. And he thought that's who Jesus is. And I don't blame him. So when Jesus died and rose again, and now he sends the Holy Spirit, and the persecution of the church begins, it was very easy for John to say, maybe I'm going to suffer like Jesus. History tells us that they catapulted John and threw him on the island of Patmos, which was full of vipers and commodores and snakes, thinking that because they tried to cook him and he could not die. Tell the person next to you, I know you've been trying to kill me, I cannot die. Come on, tell the person next to you, you are trying to kill me, but I'm not going to die today. Tell him your witchcraft is not working on me. So child of God, you begin to look and see what happened to John. John had a day with the Lord. He said, on the day of the Lord, I was in the Spirit. And then I had a voice behind me and calling me. It was like a trumpet. Now, what happened and what transpired from that time is what I want to talk to you. That oftentimes we get used to people. We get used to situations. We get to use what happens. And many of you, you are here, and you know miracle signs and wonders are happening every day. There's no doubt about it. You are here in thousands because you know the God of this place is a real God. You know very well that the God has done wonders. This thing was not here, and now it's here. And it's getting glorious, and more anointing, and more anointing. You know your pastors, they have been here with you. You've seen them for years, and now you know, we've seen people. 41 nations are here today. Why are they here? Because they know there is a real God here. But I want to show you another side of Jesus probably you did not know. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. And he's making you a king. And he's making you a priest. Oh, not like the old priests or the old kings. You're going to become a king and a priest by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I don't know whom I'm talking to. You're going to walk out tonight. Your situation is going to change so great. The power of God is about to meet you halfway. You walked in here as a believer, you are living as a king. I say you walked here as just a Christian, you are walking here as a priest. You're gonna stand between you and the problem of your world and the Almighty God. One hand will pull God and one hand will pull your family. Miracle signs and wonders are gonna happen, and you're finishing this year much more greater than you have ever finished any year. John had seen Jesus in chapter 1. And when he saw him, the Bible said, he said, when I turned, everyone said, I'm turning. Come on, somebody. Say, I am turning. Come on, say, I am turning. Now, I want you to turn. I want you to really turn. Do you, listen. I have a few minutes here. John was looking this way, and the voice came behind him. Do you think he just went ahead of Jesus? No. When they catapulted him in the midst of vipers and snakes and scorpions and commodores and lions and whatever on the island of Patmos, his eyes was looking at the problem when the answer was behind him. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. When Abraham went to sacrifice Isaac, he was looking at Isaac. He didn't know that behind him was the Lamb of God, caught in a thicket. Child of God, I just want you to turn like this. And just now, what does it mean to turn? It means remember what God has already done. He who put this dome here where there was no dome, he will put you, he will give you a house where there's no house. He who established, don't even look forward. You are finishing this year much more greater than you have ever finished any year. Turning back means I have remembered. Oh, come on, somebody say, I have remembered. There is a God in this place. No, I don't know who I'm talking to. Maybe you are in debt. You are worried your company is gonna finish strong. Maybe your child is sick. I have a kid who was dying of cancer. The doctor gave her 3 months to live. 60% of her brain was full of cancer. She's alive today. She's one of the best designers. Come on, somebody. There is a miracle coming to you right now. Lift your hand and say, Lord, I have remembered. You are the one yesterday, today, and forever. You are my God. You are my Savior. You are my Redeemer. I'm telling you, this time is not by training. This time is by anointing. I said, this is not by training. This is by anointing. John is thrusted on real island of Patmos. And while he's on island of Patmos, he hears a voice behind him like a trumpet. He said, don't worry. You're going to write to 7 churches. Why did he say 7 churches? Why not 21 churches? You all know there was a church in Rome. You know very much there was a church in among the Corinthians. Why did he write only to seven churches? Tell the person next to you, this one is special for me. Oh, come on, come on. If you are serious about it, then it's for you. Our God is a God of personal relationship. This conference came for you. This is not for your neighbor, this is for you. I say this is for you. Tell the person next to you, this is for me. He said, when the anointing is falling, I'm taking it. Come on, somebody shout hallelujah. You may be seated. So he said, write to seven churches. And he wrote to seven churches. But he didn't know why God was asking him to write to seven churches. And every church, they wrote a letter to. It went to the angel of that church. Number two, it was a different message. Tell the person next to you, my message is not yours. I say, my miracle is not yours. Which means God has a personalized invitation or an anointing or a grace for each one of us. We have come in thousands, but each one of us is carrying your special anointing to help you do your special thing. At the end of the day, God is going to be glorified in your life. You're going to have a palace of your own. I say you're going to serve the Lord. You're going to glorify your God. But the world will look at you and realize you are really a king. May God give you domain. May God give you dominion. Listen, when God created Adam and Eve, he gave them dominion. Our God is a God who gives kingdom. I have a feeling that there is 1,200 people here. Between 20 and 25 and 20, 26, you're going to dominate the markets. You're going to dominate a region. I say you're going to dominate the university. You're going to dominate some whatever they have been trying to do for years. God is giving you dominion. Sit down, sit down, sit down. Child of God. It is yours, sister. It's yours. Brother, it's yours. There is an anointing. I don't know why, doctor, you call this conference kings and priests. All these people are going to serve the Lord and their family. But they are going to dominate their families. They will be the richest in their family. Marasata karoboshe. Reboshi karabasete. Rodosita karambre desete. The Bible talks about you will lend and never borrow. You will be richer than everybody else in your family. Chapter 5, John is taken in the presence of God. It was not a dream, it was real. Tell the person next to you, in God, there are no illusions. In God, they are realities. There is truth. There are miracles. There's signs and wonders. In God, things are real. We've been reading about this glory dome in Africa. When it was opened, I was somewhere ministering in a crusade, and I heard it had been opened. And I saw great men of God, and Papa Oyedepo was here, Copeland was here. And I said, my brother, I'll report you to Jesus for not inviting me. But child of God, the thing is real. It is not pictures. The glory dome is here. As this glory dome is here, your kingdom is gonna be there. Place your hand on the ground. Say, as this ground is real, in the name of Jesus,
My kingship is being established. May you rule and reign. Somebody clap your hands to Jesus. You may sit up. Now listen. Now, some of you may not even know what you've just done. Look in your hands. Do you see anything? Nothing. You don't see anything. But if you have to use a microscope right now or magnifying glass, you will realize you've just picked up hundreds of fiber of the carpet. But you can't see it with your naked eye. Thus says the Lord. As you can't see it, yet you've touched it. It's about to be revealed to you. Chapter 5. I have to rush here. Chapter 5. So he saw the Lamb of God. And he was able to go and take the book. It was a scroll. Scroll to Rabbi Kayanja means seriously rolled. Some of you, your vision and your dreams, your plans have been seriously rolled. Even you couldn't read it, though it was yours. And they have told you, there's no man who can help you with your dream. There's no man who can help you with your plan. There's nobody who can support you. But I'm here to tell you, there is a man, Christ Jesus. He's about to appear. And he's about to get that scroll. And he's about to unseal the 7 seals that have been on your scroll. Today, in the name of Jesus, what has been rolled over, I unroll by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. They put 7 seals. Raise your hand. Say, Heavenly Father, I don't want one. I want all of it. Say, Lord, don't give me one. I want all of it. What John saw, he had, and listen, before I even tell you what he saw, sit down, please. These elders, Dr. Paul, they were holding prayers. They were in the same room with the Almighty God. But they could not even cross the threshing floor. They could go from here to there. God was there. The Lamb of God was in the midst. These elders were in the same room with Jehovah. But the Bible tells us they heard the prayers of the saint in a golden bowl. They could not even tell God, Lord, can I come? Can I bring these prayers to the people? The saints are praying. Somebody was holding the prayers to reach God. Until the Lamb of God that was slain, he took the book from the hand and opened the seals, and the prayer turned into incense. I don't know who has been holding your prayers, but in this conference, somebody's prayer is going to reach the Almighty God like incense. These 24 elders, tell the person next to you, don't you hold my prayer. Come on, tell him, say, don't hold on my prayer. My prayer is going straight. When I was coming here, I was praying to the Lord, and the Lord said, tell my people that tonight I am going to hear and answer all their prayers. They were in the presence of God holding on the prayers. Raise your hand. Say, Lord, not one, all of them. Say, not one. All of them.
You know, our God is a God of seven. Even when a woman is barren, he says, you shall produce seven. God is gonna give you seven major miracles before the end of this year. Raise your hand, say seven great miracles before the end of this year. Now let me tell you these seven miracles. Chapter 5, please. Chapter 5. Sit down. I have about a few minutes. Chapter 5. He said, and they were singing a song. Listen, these guys, doctor, they had harps, they had guitars, but they were not singing. They were in the presence of God. How can you have an instrument in the presence of God, and on the other hand, you have a prayer request and you don't sing? You see, they had stopped singing. You know, a song talks about the situation and the environment thereof. Every time you hear Dr. Paul Enenche composes new song, you must know that the shift has begun. I'm going to come and slap you. Every time you hear Dr. Enenche writes a song and the choir sings a new song, you must know that is a new day. The situation has happened. Yesterday is over. A new day has happened. Oh, somebody's going to meet God tonight. All your problems are going to turn into miracles in Jesus' name. Let me tell you something. I didn't know this until my spiritual father, Dr. T.L. Osborne, was going to speak in North Carolina. And he said, you need to meet your brother. And I said, who is my brother? You know, my father gave birth to 13 children. We are 12 boys. I mean, 9 boys. I'm number 12. So he said, I'm going to meet your brother. So I said, oh, okay. He said, your brother Benson Idahosa. I said, okay. So Benson was a huge guy. I mean, Archbishop Benson. But for me, I call him Benson. Now, we meet in North Carolina. I preach in the morning. T.L. Osborne set the meeting. He preaches in the evening. I've never seen a man of wisdom, a man of anointing and power. So I said, okay. I preached, God worked, miracles had took place, everything took place. But guess what happened, doctor? In the evening, Idahosa comes in. He preaches a message, miracle, people are getting healed, and you know, people jumping out of the wheelchair. And then we were raising money for an all-white church. And remember, I've come from Uganda. He's from Nigeria. We are meeting for the first time. I have needs. He doesn't. He has faith. So he turns around and he said, all of you, we need to get this church out of trouble. We were the only 2 black people in the whole white church. Like 2 black beans in a basket of white eggs. So he says, we are giving $1,000. Now in the morning, when I finished preaching, the pastor of that church had given me a check of $1,000. And I know he did not tell Benson Idahosa. So Benson turned around and said, we are beginning to give $1,000. We start with Uganda. And I said, say it again. You are Nigerian, I'm Ugandan, leave me alone. I am not going to give you my money. Not to a white church. Actually, the white people should give me. Because I borrowed a ticket to come. Benson, he said, we start with Uganda. He said, we start with you. And I said, no. He said, Lion of Africa, we start with you. Let's show these white people that we are not broke. I said, I am broke. What are you talking about? I have no money. This is my lifeline. I'm holding on to my miracle. I prayed and fasted for it. Now you want to give it to these people? You are joking. And he used to wear this Egbada, a Nigerian garment. He walks around and said, we start with you. I remember very well, doctor, there was a white lady, because we took it about for 30, 45 minutes.
I was not releasing my money. I said, you don't know me. And guess what happened? Dr. Paul, this was serious. You know, poverty is so bad. It will starve you in the land of plenty. It will label you and call you what you are not, and you'll accept it. So what he did, he started speaking. He was speaking in English. So I changed the language. I started speaking Luganda, where he can't understand. And Benson turned around and said, even if you turn, you speak in your language, you are now quarreling, you'll give the money. How did he know? Because I was speaking in my language. I said, no, I'm not giving my money. Sikuwa sente zange, gori mu Nigeria zeni mu na Uganda mvako. Well, where is this? Which means, you are Nigerian, I'm Uganda, leave me alone. He said, you are quarreling. You know, poverty does that to you. When you can't quarrel in English, you return into local language. It takes you from global levels and releases you to local level. Somebody say, fire! Now I was connected. I had friends, I mean, everywhere, but I was struggling. My ministry was struggling. And then this man said, you're going to give. Then a white lady came to get me out of trouble. She said, Archbishop, he looks, he doesn't have the money. Can I help him? She brought $815. And she said, I have $815. Anybody who has more money to add on to make it 1,000, please. Archbishop Benson got the money. It had some coins. He got the money in the hand and he threw it back in the face of that white woman. He said, who told you you are the one to bail us out every time we are in need? He said, that's why you're giving us used tea bags. You send us out clothes and used tea bags. I've never had that one before. I had had that they're giving, but I never had that they are sending us used tea bags. I got scared. I said, the man is becoming violent. I said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. The lady is trying to help and you're throwing the money. He said, lady, sit down. And the money went all over the place. My brother, it flew all over the place. He told the people, close the door. Nobody goes. There was a lady who wanted to use a bathroom. She lifted her hand. He said, nobody goes to bathroom. Close the door. I said, this Nigerian is going to kill these white people. And they said the black people killed white people. And we are going to jail. I said, I have the money. I'll give you the money. Don't kill the people. Don't kill the people, please. I'm sure I did not give it by faith. I gave it by force. And so I gave him the money. I signed the check over. And he jumped. And he turned around and he prophesied. He said, you'll never be broke in your life. I was not yet married. He said, you're going to marry a very intelligent, wise woman. You'll have children. You'll touch the world. God is going to open doors for you. So he lays hands on me. So I don't know whether I fell by the power of his might or by the anointing, but I found myself on the floor. But that was the day poverty was broke in my life. So, I said, Idahosa is, before he gave the money, I said, Idahosa is not a man of God. So, in my heart, sit down please, let me finish. You are taking my minutes by standing. Listen to this. So, I finished everything. And I said, I did not give you my money because I believed. Dr. Nenche, I didn't give him my money because I believed. I wanted him to stop torturing the white people. So I said, okay,
when we go to the green room after the service, I'm going to ask him to give me back my money. So we went to the green room. We had something to eat. But then I began to see people from Ghana and Nigeria who are coming. They're working in America. They are bringing him, Papa, Papa, they are kneeling down. And they are giving him money. $100, $1,000. You prayed for me before I left Nigeria. I was like this. Now I work with NASA. And they were giving him money. I've never seen that before. I said, God, they are really black people who have money. I didn't know that. So he had an adjutant. He opened a briefcase and it was full of money. They were putting in money and he was praying for them and they were leaving. There were about 300 of them. So I stayed there until I was tired. I said, okay, now I'll meet him tomorrow on the breakfast. You know, poverty is so bad. It will cause you to sleep before you get your miracle. It will make you lazy. So I said, I'll talk to him. I'll not bother him. Then he called me. He said, Kayanja, come here. He said, I want to show you something. He put his hand here and he pulled out $100,000 and said, see this? No one will ever take me hostage. I thought he was giving me. He put it back. He reached out in his socks. He pulled out another bundle. He said, you see this? I'll never be taken hostage. I thought now he's going to give me something. He put it back. And said, may God bless you. So I said, That's it. That's it. You see me on the other side? And you see him over there. I'm telling you. So what happened was, now we are finishing everything. And I said, okay, I'll see you, Archbishop. He said, okay, next time I'm going to come to your church and I want to see how you are doing, Lion of Africa. And I said, okay, you are joking. Tomorrow I'm getting back my money. So I woke up in the morning, doctor. When I woke up in the morning, 6, I went for breakfast. I sat there until 8, waiting for Archbishop to come out of his place. He didn't show up. So I asked the pastor, where is Archbishop? He said, oh, by the time he finished, you talking to him there. When he finished seeing those Nigerians, he went back to Benin City. I say, Idahosa is not a man of God. First of all, he has taken my money and he has abandoned me here. He's not a man of God. And while I was speaking there, Pastor Woodrow Walker, Abundant Life Church in Georgia. He's still there. That's why I'm quoting his name, because he was in that meeting. He said, I've been looking for you. I know Archbishop left, but can you come to our church? I said, what church? He said, we want you to come. We saw the miracles. We saw the way the word of knowledge, the prophets, everything God was doing. I want you to be in my church. I'm taking you. It was a Saturday. I said, let me pray. First of all, you have no money. Number two, you have nowhere to go. Number three, you've been abandoned. What prayer are you praying? A miracle has already happened. Just say yes. But you are here now saying, let me pray. Poverty and religion work together. So what happened was, after everything was done, I said, okay, I will go. So the pastor took me to Atlanta, Georgia, JW Marriott, downtown Atlanta. You have to have a key to go to the presidential suite. I have never been to a presidential suite. They call it presidential suite. I thought it was a suite, which the one you saw. So they took me there, and man, it was a whole house. The thing was big. It had a main bedroom and 2 more rooms. It had a jacuzzi. I've never had a word called jacuzzi. My English did not go that far. Don't laugh at me. You too, you never heard about a jacuzzi. You're just pretending that you look like you know everything.
So the man told me, you press buttons and you release the water, you put in the salt. I didn't know that they put salt in the jacuzzi. And put in other chemicals there. And then you press here and it will bubble. You sit there and then you do that. I said, this is how you go to jail. My poor person told me, this is the beginning of going to jail. You're going to break these white people's things and they will take you. You don't even have any penny to pay. So I pull out a piece of paper. I say, can you write down the steps of how to operate this thing? So the person wrote down everything. I'm telling you, don't just pretend you know. Make sure you get instruction. You end up in jail for no reason. So I wrote down everything that I had, and then everything was ready. Then there was a mini bar. Then they say, if you want anything, just order. I said, really? So I turned the water, started with one leg and another one. When I pressed the machine, it said, boo, I jumped out, and then I came back. But doctor, this is true. I sat in that water for 5 minutes. The Holy Ghost came. I'm telling you, you get anointed quicker in a good environment than when you are struggling in a bad place. I just started speaking into, that's Pastor Woodrow Walker. He's still alive, he's still there. So I just went in the spirit. I just spoke in tongues. I felt the power of God. And then I woke up of the jacuzzi and I ordered food. This and this and that. So I slept in the presidential master bedroom. But there were two more rooms. And they had invited me for one service that day. So I said, I need to finish my money. So I woke up, went to another room, I slept there. Then I woke up, went to the other room, and stopped there. Somebody said, I don't want one, I want all of it. In this conference, you are getting everything. Everything pertains to godliness. I say health, miracle, signs, wonders, prosperity, wisdom, holiness, righteousness. You are getting everything. So when I'm in the morning, they knocked on the door. We are taking you to church. I say, praise God. So we went. I preached. God moved mightily. People, please sit down, sit down. When you stand up, you consume my minutes. So, when I was done, miracles happened. Pastor Woodrow said, you cannot go. We are here in the evening. We are here in the evening. We want revival. So we went 7 days, unplanned meeting. People were in the overflow. On Sunday, the last day, they had a party for me. They brought 3 envelopes. I told them we are building the church. He said, this first envelope is $3,000 cash. They say, this is for your ticket. We want you to come back. Then they brought another envelope, $7,000 cash. This is for you. Then they gave me a check of $25,000 to help with the church. I shouted, Ida Hossa is a man of God. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down. And when I shouted that, the pastor said, Pastor Woodrow, yes, he's a man of God. And by the way, this evening, he was preaching at Chapel Hill. You want me to call him? Then the poor person in me said, no, don't call him because he's gonna he's gonna ask for more. I said, please don't call him. By now I'll be having my own airline.
they will deny you in the land of plenty. We are kings and we are priests. We are gonna rule on earth in the mighty name of Jesus. Doctor, there are people, the Bible says, many are called, but few are chosen. Idahosa was not just called. He was chosen. Dr. Paul, here, I'm not saying this because he's my brother, he's my friend, because I know him. I've known him for over 30 years. He's not just called. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. He was chosen. He was chosen to raise kings in the kingdom of God. The reason why we are not ruling and reigning on earth is because we have not understood the revelation. You cannot become a king by bloodline. In the kingdom of God, it's by revelation. It's by revelation. And the revelation you get is by the anointing. So let me show you quickly, because I've run out of time. In Jesus' name. Oh my God. Even running from there to here is like a runway. Revelation chapter 5. In verse 8. Let's start from verse 8. I'm left with 1 minute. Doctor, you're going to give me another minute, please. Let's read it. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of which are prayers of the saints. I decree under the anointing of the Holy Ghost, your prayer will never be hindered or delayed. May God begin tonight to answer your prayers. Go ahead, please. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So say redemption. Say it again, say redemption. Not by liberation, by redemption. Tomorrow night when I get a chance, I'll tell you the power of redemption. We were never liberated, but we are redeemed. You didn't hear what I just said. I said we are redeemed. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The power of redemption is what took Jesus Christ on the cross. I'm just giving you a sneak preview. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, that the blessing of Abraham may come to the Gentiles and that we may receive the power of the Holy Ghost. Three reasons why Jesus went to the cross: to redeem you, to bless you, and to empower you, because you were king. Now, go back to the following verse. Where I was, chapter 5. And they were singing a song. Let's go to the song. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seal thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood and out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Go ahead. And I behold and I heard. Now, back to the verse where it says, the song they were singing up there. Now, okay, let me throw this one at you. I know I have some few minutes. But let's go. Sang a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and open. No, no, no. Go back quickly. Go. Verse 10. Verse 10, please. You are beautiful. You are doing great. They will give you a raise. Come on. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Go ahead, please. Verse 11, and I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and 1,000 over 1,000. Child of God, I did the math. God believes in mathematics. Hello? That's why he has a book of numbers. God believes in mathematics. That's why he has a book of numbers. 10,000 times 10,000 times 1,000 times 1,000 is 100 trillion. The devil stole a third of those angels, which means he stole 33.33 trillion angels. He turned them into demons. We are only 8 billion. You're not hearing what I'm saying. So if I divide the 8 billion into 33 trillion, I end up with about 45,000 demons against each individual person. Look at the person next to you. That person is not alone. He has company. Are you listening to what I'm saying? That's why he said we shall. Why is he saying we shall? It means we are going to be in power. So if you remove a third, you are left with two thirds. So if a third is 45, which means each one of you who is a believer, who is a child of God, you have got 90,000 angels on your side. Say, I'm going to rule and reign. So for every demon that comes to you, you have two to fight him. You have one on the left, one on the right. Demons will come to you one way and they run away seven ways. Oh, there's somebody here who's going to live completely delivered and set free by the power of God. Now listen to this. I'm rushing quickly. Up there, he told us the song they sang. I think Revelation chapter 5. And he said, they sang about seven things they sang about. They say, you are worthy to receive. Jesus is the one. Jesus is worthy to receive what? Verse 12, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what? To receive what? I can't hear you. To receive what? Power. Some say power. Come on, speak as though you ate fufu. Some of you are saying, power. You'll not have dinner tonight. Say, power.
Power.
So he was worthy to receive what? Power. Number two, riches. Number three, wisdom. Number four, strength. Number five. Number six. Number seven. All these sevens are yours in Jesus' mighty name. That's what you are taking tonight. That's what you are taking back in this conference. God is going to give you power in Jesus' name. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Somebody shout hallelujah, glory to God. Now, I don't know the order of this place. But since I'm in my twin brother's church, let me obey the Holy Spirit. The Lord told me there is 1,200 people. 1,200 people who should run and rule and reign from this year for the rest of their life. There was a time After I've given that $1,000, we were home on our bed early in the morning. We didn't have those solid cell phone yet. I got a call from Joyce Meyer. I didn't pick. She picked the phone. And she said, "Hey, Joyce Meyer is online." At that time, we had a secretary who's Jewish, a girl called Dina. She was a secretary of our ministry in the U.S. And she always fake voices. And I told her, I said, that's not Joyce Meyer. That is Dina. I went back to sleep. She called again. She said, I didn't answer. Then she called a pastor in Texas who called us to say, "I want to come. God has told me I'm coming to your church for one day." So I said, "I'm sorry. I thought somebody was playing games." He said, No. "God told me I need to come to your church." Now, that's when my daughter had cancer and we did not know about it. So I left Jessica and her struggling. I went to preach in Chicago, where Oral Roberts was and Copeland was and Jesse Duplantis, and I was another speaker there. "Doctor, this is amazing. Joyce Meyer comes to church." And while I was struggling, my son was 6 years old. My daughters were four. They are twins. They are four. And the Spirit of the Lord said, "Whatever you are going to do for Joyce Meyer, add on another 10,000. And I say, "You devil, go back to hell." I can't. I don't have the money. Because I didn't have any money at all. What I did, the Lord impressed on me. So I told her. She found me quarreling. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "How can you imagine? The devil told me to give Joyce Meyer another $10,000. She turned to me, "May God give you a wise wife. She said, "When was the last time Satan has ever given you to give $10,000? When was the last time Satan has ever told you to do that?" So I went to the bank. I had a member of our church who was working for an exchange in a certain bank. I said, "Can you please give me a loan? I'll pay it back in 2 weeks. How many of you have ever promised to pay back a loan and you said, "I'll pay back this evening," and it's already 5 p.m.? So I said, "I'll pay in 2 weeks." The doctor, the man went, signed for that money, and gave it to me. So I started counting it. My son was six. Junior was six. He said to me, when he saw me counting the money, he said, "Wow, what is that?" I said, "This is $10,000. He said, "For me?" I said, "Shut up, boy. This is for Joyce Meyer." He said, "Cool." Finished. We are in the church. I'm not hearing even what Joyce Meyer is preaching. I'm like, I'm baptizing lemon juice. Whatever she was preaching, I did not hear a word. Because the devil told me, "I am going to give, Joyce Meyer has come to give you $1 million. That's why she's coming here, not you to give." But at that time, she was building her office. So I took the 10,000. My son kicked me like this and said, "Daddy, the woman is here, give her money." I said, "Shut up, boy, you don't know anything." I took the money, I gave it to Joyce Meyer. I have the video. I'll play for the people today. I thought Joyce Meyer was going to say, "Hey, Pastor Robert, here's your 10,000. I'm adding on another million." She grabbed the money and said, "Praise God, God told me I'll get a seed from here." I said, "She's taken my money. Now I don't know where to go get the money. Remember, I have a sick child. I don't know what to do." But I believe if we had not sown that seed, God did not send Joyce Meyer to speak to Uganda. He came for us to sow a seed for the healing of our daughter. You don't buy a miracle.
No.
But my faith needed to go to that level to grab the other miracle. And so what happened was, we ruled and reigned. We defeated this cancer. Our daughter is alive.
And excelling.